You can have all the money in your hand, all the possessions anyone can ever have, but it's all worth the treasure. True worth is only measured not by what you got, but what you got in your heart. You can have everything, but what is it? What is it?
I never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
It ain't no different when the king goes sick.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, love, and reflections, and passion, desire, and contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
You know I love music. And every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun. But it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to...
When you Shea, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know, I'm happy and pleased to be here with you and have this opportunity to talk about some of the issues that impact our lives and the lives of those around us. It is important that we have conversations that help us to figure out what direction we want to go as a nation and as individuals. How are you doing this evening, Cheryl? Can you hear me, Cheryl?
I'm doing great, and yourself?
I'm doing fine. Cheryl, I want to, you know, you're the only one on right now, and hope that others will be coming on. But I wanted to talk today about the fact that Donaldson, who is the gentleman who is facing charges with the serial killings in Tampa, his parents right now may be facing charges because they refuse to answer the prosecution's questions. And so they're supposed to be going before a judge. And so I wanted to talk today about what it is that everybody thinks or feels related to this impossible situation these parents find themselves in, and the prosecutor wants to ask them questions about their child's mental health. And so up to this point, they have refused to assist in the prosecution of their son. So do you think they should be compelled to answer questions by a threat of possibly going to jail?
Well, I don't know. Good evening, and how is everybody doing today? What happened with pleading the fifth? I mean, does it not work in every case?
Well, I think that because they're not facing any charges, normally people who are criminally charged with something face... you know, they can't be compelled to give them information that might lend itself to them being put in jail. But because the questions being asked are not related to them, but are related to their son. And I think you can also plead the fifth related to answering questions related to your spouse. But I don't know if those rules go to your family members. But I would think it would be normal for somebody who loves their child not to participate in whatever efforts might be going on to put their children to death or incarcerate them for the rest of their lives. So I could see where the parents wouldn't want to participate in that effort. And so I kind of is normal on their part. Now, whether or not this judge would have the ability to put them in jail under a contempt of court order that says that until you answer the prosecutor's questions, you're going to be locked up. I don't know if that is constitutional or not, but that does seem to be the direction that they're going in right now.
You know, and with me not knowing the law to that extent, I wouldn't know either. I thought that if they had a lawyer, that they were not forced. Then here again, it's the child that's going to jail, and not them. So I don't know the extent of the law, but I would think that they would have to or would want a lawyer to advise them as far as what, you know, they can actually do. And, you know, most of the time, if you are being represented by a lawyer, you don't have to answer that question, you know, answer the questions. So I don't know what makes it different, you know, being the parent of the child And well, if they can really legally force them to give them information.
They presently do have a lawyer, and I'm not sure exactly how he is advising them, but they have been subpoenaed to come to court and to answer the questions of the prosecutor. Now, I see that it would be normal that a parent wouldn't want to participate in having their child judged to the extent that this young man might be judged in. But the question asking is, how do people feel about the fact that, you know, these people are literally being threatened with jail if they don't testify or give information related to the investigation of their child? And at this point, they have refused to answer any questions. The prosecutor is asking questions related to their mental health. So, Andre, you know, any parent would have some reservations about participating in the prosecution of their son, but Tampa is now threatening to put them in jail, which might cause a lot of issues for them in the fact that they're running a school and they may not be available to take care of the business of their school.
Wonderful Wednesday to everyone. And I think Ms. Cheryl was on the right path. That you have to just really see what the laws are, because I do know that in most cases people have the opportunity to plead the fifth, in which they don't have to respond or answer questions, and it doesn't mean that you are admitting to anything or not admitting to anything. You're just not answering and saying. But, you know, that's part of the legal system to be sued or subpoenaed and that kind of stuff. So that's not the issue. That's just part of the process. But, again, you have to just see what the rules, the laws say and don't say. And I agree. I think that once you have an attorney that you have hired, at that point, that person is your spokesperson or speaks for you and stuff. So we'll see. I think it'll be an opportunity for us to learn exactly what the laws are and if the laws vary from state to state.
Again, let me just say that, again, when you say plead the fifth, when you plead the fifth, you're pleading the fifth so as not to share any information that may lend itself to you being prosecuted. When we are not in threat of prosecution, then you don't have the ability to plead the fifth, because pleading the fifth is only an individual's right not to say anything that might get them arrested. Their parents are being asked questions related to their son's mental health. All the questions that they're asking are their attempt to investigate what was going on with their son and what they knew about what their son was doing or going through that might have lent itself to him going in this direction. So they are right now what they call impeding an investigation. So if I ask questions related to an investigation that you may have information about and you choose not to share it, you can't plead the fifth when you're not being threatened to go to jail.
Well, in essence, though, you're saying they are. If indeed they don't answer the question, then you're saying that they are.
Right,
even though I understand the questions are about
the information, it's not going to incriminate them. You know, okay, if you can't be self-incriminate yourself, so you can't be forced to incriminate yourself. They're not being incriminated. It's their son.
That's exactly right. It may incriminate them because of the fact that they are their parents. So as parents, we have some responsibility for our children. And then an attorney would attack, if you would, your parenting skills. Was it something that you could have, would have, or should have done differently? So I would still like to say I would hold ground to that and see what the attorney says. It's just like HIPAA laws with as it has to do with medical records. Doctors see you, but unless you release and authorize them, they're unable to share that information about you. So I understand exactly what you're saying about the Fifth, James, but I'm saying that because they are their parents. As parents, we have responsibilities and accountabilities for some of the things that impact our children. So that's the position. If I was their attorney, and surely know that I don't have an attorney's license, but if it was their attorney, then I would. That's what I would say. Whatever they say may have some impact on their parenting skills. So therefore, yeah, they could hold out and not say.
All right, Joyce, what are your thoughts in related to these parents being forced to give up information about their child under threat of the judge putting them in jail for refusing to answer questions?
Well, in most situations, in particular, I think, if I'm not mistaken, when there's a lawsuit, is this what this is, a lawsuit?
No. We're dealing with the parent, the young man who got caught for the four murders in Tampa. His parents were subpoenaed to answer questions, but they refused to answer questions. So now they're going to go before a judge who's likely to compel them to answer the questions, or they may be put in jail for hindering prosecution.
Well, to my knowledge, I think in most situations, sometimes they have what they call a discovery period. And that discovery is where each side has the authority where they can present you with several questions for information. And that would be to tie you up later on to find out whether or not you have told the truth or whether you not have told the truth. But like Ms. Cheryl said, if you got an attorney, that's his job. You know what I mean? So his job would be to tell you the law whether or not you are susceptible to give that information out or whether or not you should give us that information. But it sounds like, to me, it sounds like it's what they call a discovery period, whereas that is where both sides can seek information, you know, and by right, you know, you have that authority that, you know, those questions, that information needs to be addressed. And therefore, they can proceed with how they go with their ruling, proceed with the proceedings. I'm assuming that's what that is. But that's why you get a lawyer.
Represent. But they do have a lawyer, and I'm sure he's trying to do whatever he can. Today, I guess we're just talking about whether or not parents should be forced to give testify against their children or give information to a prosecutor that very well may be used to give their child a death penalty or have him in jail for the rest of his life, whether or not parents should be forced to share that kind of information.
Well, good evening, everybody, and nice to have Ms. Cheryl back. I'm sorry, Ms. Joyce back, and Ms. Audrey, nice to have y'all back. This been a case of murder. This been a situation of murder. My positioning of their participation is going to change. When it comes down to pleading the Fifth, there's the discovery clause that Ms. Joyce spoke of, but in all of that, here's the problem. The problem is that hopefully they have a lawyer that's knowledgeable enough to help them. That's the problem. It seems to be a rush for proceeding forward by the prosecution, by the prosecuting office. There's a rush to proceed. Now, if in that rush, if the lawyer is knowledgeable enough to stonewall or to stall for time so they can utilize any clauses that they may be able to use, like to use the Fifth Amendment. But what the prosecution is trying to do is to use the fact that they are obstructing justice or the proceeding of justice. And that's why they're threatening to put them in jail. All right, so the lawyer has to be knowledgeable enough to stonewall so they can use all the avenues available to their right to not testify. Because if they do testify, then it's going to be a question of their parenting skills or their lack thereof. And in that, they could be held liable or responsible for this young man's behavior as a grown person. So that's why they want to be hush-hush, but they have to be careful not to obstruct the proceeding going forward. Now, that's why it's important not to get a public defender or a lawyer who claims that he can help you, but he's not knowledgeable enough to stonewall the situation to where you can find out legally your advantages and not testify, if that makes any sense. So I think the knowledge of the lawyer is most important, as opposed to having a public defender that don't know much anything, not to take away from their chosen trait or their chosen of the trade of being a lawyer, but you got to have somebody knowledgeable in a case such as this, which is a murder case. Thank you.
Regina, it's understandable that a parent wouldn't want to be a tool used against their child, especially when the punishment is as great as death or possibly life imprisonment. These parents truly love their son and want to do the best that they can for him in this situation. But the fact is that there's a law between a husband and wife not testifying against each other. I don't think that law is extended to the children.
Good evening. I'm not quite sure what the question was, but I guess I can say that's a hard thing to do, to have to testify against your child. I don't know. Because, I mean, you could have to testify.
I recognize because of the love for people have for their children that they don't want to be a tool to convict their children. And so they resisting being compelled to say anything that might be used against their child. And I think that's understandable.
Exactly. But then on the other hand, you know, I just don't know who is it that the child did something. It could be that the child did something that the parent has information on, and it would cause the child to be punished and get just punishment. It could be a situation where the parents know more, or I don't know. That's just something that I pray I'll never be in.
Well, this child has now he is an adult now, so I can't imagine how his parents can be brought into this situation in terms of anything they may have done wrong. But the truth is that the young man has been charged with four counts of premeditated murder. But interesting enough, if his parents have some knowledge, Cheryl, of him having some mental issues, looking like those that information might mitigate what he did. So they want to know whether or not he had any mental problems. Look like to me that might be questions that you might want to answer.
You know, now I'm going to just say if I was in that position, I probably would not say anything at all, even though I may be able to help him in the case. I need to be legally informed of what I answer and the repercussions or the consequences of the way I answer. And I'm just saying this as being a parent. I would want to know as much information as possible in a legal, you know, from a legal point before I answer anything. And you're right. I mean, it can be something that can help him to get life opposed to the death penalty. But I still would say that I have to have enough information knowing what I say, what would be the repercussions of what I'm saying. You know, and I'm thinking, and I'm just, you know, just from only the information that I know is that if he has some kind of mental problem, and here's the thing, if he has some kind of mental problem and they're knowing about it, then it can be a difference between life in prison and a death penalty. But if he has some mental problem and they knew about it and nobody got him the help that he needed, then again, that's going to fall back on the parents. So I guess, you know, in this case, it just seems to me I'm not going to say anything until I know enough information before I open my mouth. And that seems to have been a bond between the mother and the father, because they're both, and it says that they're, you know, repeatedly are not given any information, and they're both are sticking to the same story each time they are asked something. So I think it has to play out a little bit more. And, you know, and to me, that would be my position. And it seems as though just right now, that's the position that they're taking. Because they can be hurting their own self by answering as well.
It is clear that they have decided and have talked about it as a group between themselves. Because when they went down to the police station, they both told the investigators the same thing, that they were not going to answer any questions regarding their son's care, and that they were very sorry for what their son had been accused of doing, and they prayed for the parents of the deceased, and that they themselves were going through some very hurtful times. And it's that kind of thing is to be understood when you find that someone you truly love has done something so horrific that you just don't want to participate in the process that is going to determine what type of justice this person, what kind of punishment did this person receive, Audrey?
Yes, while you were talking, I was just thinking, you know, it's so interesting that, as Dee mentioned, they're really trying to move, you know, really fast and furiously with this case. And, you know, I've seen or heard about where white children, not to bring race into it again, but it's just one of the obvious is that when a white child, and in this case, this is a young man, a white young man, commit, you know, crimes that bring national attention. I don't ever recall the parents being asked questions, and maybe it just wasn't in our area and we just didn't realize or didn't know it, but that parents were asked questions as to information that may hinder or hurt their child. I don't know. I just think that's a unique situation to try to put parents in.
And I think you're right. All of us being parents don't want to be a tool used against our children, especially initially when we very well may be in shock, Joyce, that, you know, we ourselves need to recover and come to the realization of what's going on with our child when we don't have any history of our child being doing anything remotely like this. So it could be a period where these parents just need to get this through their heads about what they're seeing themselves go through.
Exactly. And we also have to take a look at, too, is that you're not even allowed to testify against your spouse. So why would it be so different for you to do it against your child? So I'm assuming that the attorney that they have is directing them as to what to do, how to address the situation, and how to proceed. Because that would be the lawyer's job, would be to determine. Because my thing is that you got to know why you're asking me these type of questions. For number one, it has to be some type of amendment, request, order to address. So apparently, I'm assuming that that's not there for them to try to proceed with chastising them to try to give up that information. One thing about us as a black race, what they're maybe trying to do, we so easily to, when you hear the white man ask you questions, and I'm going to call him the master, we're so eager to spill our guts. But now I think as a black race, we're beginning to evaluate and to weigh situations out and ask questions. My thing is, what are you needing this information for? You know, why are you asking me this information? Because my thing is that if that's the type of information, then your job is to go seek those answers out, and it wouldn't be for me and as far as the best interest of my son. So it's a lot to weigh in that situation. I'm so glad that they do have an attorney, and I'm just hoping that the attorney is, like D say, learned enough where he knows the ins and outs and the trickery of the legal system. Thank you.
All right, let me go on to another parenting situation. This person we've talked about on this show as well, and I know that some of you had come up with some punishment that you thought LeVar Ball's son and the other two men should go through, but I recently just heard that LeVar is pulling his son off UCLA's team because they suspended them from the basketball team. And so now he is trying to seek a way to allow his son to play or not to be kept off of the court because it was his intention for his son only to play college ball 1 year. So what are your thoughts related to here at all? Here's a father who's trying to circumvent the system, who's taking his son off a team because he doesn't necessarily like the length of the punishment that his son was getting because of the stealing that was done in China. Cheryl, what are your thoughts about, you know, that our children do need to be punished when they do something wrong, but LeVar has said that because his child was released in China and he already apologized, that should be all that the punishment that he deserves and that he should be allowed to play. And since he's not being allowed to play, he's pulling his son off the team to figure out a different way for his son to get to the pros.
You know, one thing about this situation, he cannot hold his hand through life. And when there's for all actions, you know, for any actions like this, there are consequences. And we have to, you know, whatever length of time. Now, I can't say that, you know, if he want to take him off the team, that's fine. But he still should have to serve out whatever the punishment is, meaning that if he takes him out and go to another team, whatever that punishment still should be with uphold. For the simple reason, it's telling him, look, if I don't like the punishment, you don't have to serve. You don't have to do it. You don't have no consequences for your actions. You know, we just gonna seek it somewhere else. And I feel like, what is that teaching him? It's teaching him that daddy got your back, but see, he's not gonna be there to hold his hand the rest of his life. And that's just not fair. When I say that, is it's not fair to him, to the system. I mean, you know, and it's just a slap in the face to the school saying, you know, we can't implement any type of punishment because it's like who you are. I can go over your head. But I think the main thing that would be to me is, what am I teaching my son? And just sit down and take the punishment, whatever it is. I mean, it's not for long. I mean, I don't really even know what the time frame is on the punishment that I'm talking all of this. But I'm still saying, don't be so fast to get them out, because guess what? It's going to send mixed signals. It's going to feel like he can get away with anything in life, and he can't. And his daddy just can't get him out of everything. That's my thought.
Well, it looks like his son will not. The NCAA is trying to determine how long the suspension will be for. And LeVar is concerned that his son will not get back on the court this basketball season. So he's taking him out of school altogether. But his plan was to have his son only play 1 year before going pros. So, RJ, here we have a situation where his son has acknowledged he's done something wrong, but LeVar, his father, has decided he doesn't want the school or the NCAA to determine his punishment, that he should be the punishment of making a apology, and that he was released from jail or from confinement in China should be enough. So LeVar seems to be the one who's going to make all the decisions based on what happens or doesn't happen to his child, as though he's the ruling party.
So you're saying that he's serving as a parent?
Well, I'm saying that his son was on a team, and he violated a rule on that team. And to circumvent that rule, he's pulling his son off the team and seeking other methods or measures to get his son to the pros. But what kind of message is that sending when you made a mistake and you have to be prepared or ready to serve the punishment for that mistake?
Well, you know, it's not that I agree with it, but it sounds like he's serving as a parent and trying to help his son reach the goal that he's setting for. Ain't trying to be funny, but you know, we've talked about this topic before, and what Joy said stuck with me a long time ago was that in reality, the best thing for him to do was to recreate himself, take that negative situation and turn it positive. And Joy said that repeatedly, and that stuck with me. And, you know, it sounds like his father is still trying to keep him in that arena. But, you know, it seems like the best way possible is not necessarily to continue at UCLA. I would think that the college would be glad that he's no longer a student with them because they can start moving past the association
exactly.
of the negative remark. But to your point, now, let's not penalize a parent for taking steps to help their child. That's just the way I see it. That's the reason why I see it.
But you could argue that a parent should not seek to help their child avoid punishment for something that they did. Now let me just share the
point. Hold on, let me say this first, then you go on. He may not be seeking the punishment that we think that he deserves. He to the level of punishment he deserves. I mean, he has been punished. Just because of the fact that he showed up, he didn't play the thing. Now, we may say that that wasn't enough punishment. So, I mean, you're right, James. We could always say what people should do and that kind of stuff and all that. But we live in a real world, and in reality, I tell you what, I'm going to try to help my son as much as I can for him to be successful.
Hello.
Let me just share this point with all of you first initially. You know, avoiding punishment can sometimes be a worse situation for your child than facing what it is that they did. There are a lot of parents, especially those who have money, who help their children avoid punishment. Then their child gets in even deeper trouble because they got the mind frame of thinking, my parent will always help me get out of situation. Now, I know that my daughter once went to a mall with a group of children, and she swears to this day that she didn't participate in any shoplifting. And what I made her do was, even though I wanted to believe her, I made her go through one of those that they had that, you know, you don't question the accusation, you go through the program, and then you don't get served the penalty. But you serve that program such as to show you what could happen, what you did, what kind of position it put you in. So sometimes you need to face what you did. What she did was wrong was taking herself up to the mall anyway, during school hours. So at least you were skipping school. So here it is that LeVar does not want to shorten the period of his son not getting to the pros. So he wants to invent another way for his son to get to the pros without the punishment of the NCAA. So there is the issue. You wanted to use the NCAA to get to the pros, but now that they want to impose a punishment on you, I want to say, no, I'm out of here. I'm not going to be let you govern me. Joyce, go ahead. Now, after hearing that,
Okay, listen, it could be a two-thing because I can look at it and I can understand what his dad might be thinking. He already served his punishment. He served his punishment over in China. Plus, he served his punishment being disgraced throughout the world, you know. And then with the reprimand of the NCAA, he felt that they wasn't since they black boys and all, you know, they really sometimes really want you punished way beyond than what the average white boy would have been punished. So yeah, his dad looked at it this way: is that his goal was 1 year. So therefore, with this double punishment that he thinks that he's already been punished, but this is just way beyond what he felt that the punishment, then I need a plan B. So he's going to his plan B. Normally, I would take it. I look at it the other way because that is the law, the school's foundation and the whole bit. But sometimes the school foundation rules and regulations are bent towards certain things. And in this situation, it's a double punishment. And I'm assuming that's what his dad is looking at. I'm assuming that's how his dad is thinking. So we got to stop looking so straight and narrow and look at the big picture. And I'm assuming that's what his dad is doing, looking at the big picture, what he thinks is best. Still the wrong move where he should even step his foot on a basketball court. I personally feel that way, but I ain't his dad. But my thing is that he really needs to reinvent himself in a whole different arena. And who knows, the ball boy may have done what he done because he felt the pressure and don't even want to play basketball. Hello. You know, that could be the issue too.
But there are times when people do the things that he did, Joyce, and they suspend it entirely for the whole, not just for 1 year, but there are violations that people do. And they get expelled from the team for good. So they were not expelling him from the team for good. They may have expelled him for 1 year, but ultimately LeVar is trying to get his boy in the pros next year. So having him suspended for this season would not allow him to showcase his talent. So, Regina, what are your thoughts about LeVar Ball trying to help his son avoid the NCAA punishment related to him going to China and stop this?
Well, I know that throughout my daughter's school career, and she's sitting right in here with me, I've had to step in and really and truly, in retrospect, I believe that some children or that children need to have consequences, and they need to have consequences as often as they commit these infractions. On the other hand, the field is not level for many people or in many situations. And the reason I stepped in so many times was that the safety net was not there for my child that was there for some other race children. Oftentimes, well, I can tell you one specific time, I went to the principal of the school and I told him, the same way you went down and got those two white boys out of jail and left the two black boys sitting in jail, that's the same way you're going to handle the situation if my daughter should get into trouble. And I'm not going to buy you a copier. I'm not going to do this for you, and I'm not going to do that for you. You're going to handle her fairly. So I can see both sides of what this man is doing for his son, because the playing field is not always fair. And as I said, the same safety net always in place for our children.
Well said. Well said.
But we have to be concerned. Now, all of us have known situations where people have been given too much leniency and they don't learn from that leniency. So, Cheryl, you have to be careful about helping your child get out of all types of punishment, because they may continue in that same direction thinking there's never no true consequences for the actions that they take.
You know, I totally agree, because I don't, and you know, I've said it many times before, is that you need to understand exactly what you've done. And I'm just speaking for myself personally in the situations, you know, with my children. I don't want you to feel like I'm going to let you go at home, because, you know, it's not going to be the same way when you leave out the house. So if you can get it in you and you can understand, and, you know, I don't know if a lot of y'all on here, parents and I know I did it, you know, said, this hurts me more than it hurts you, and you just don't even realize it. And I mean down to the simple things. You know, my daughter, when she was young, I can remember just so vividly buying her this Mickey Mouse watch. And because she did not behave, then I didn't give it to her. It sat there until she understood what it is she did, and I'm not going to give to you with the behavior that, you know, you displayed. And, I mean, it wasn't nothing horrible, but it was just steady teaching a lesson, you know, from young. So as you get older, you know, then you realize, you know, and always, you know, talking to them and saying that there's rules that you have to follow when you get out here. Just as there are rules in the house, there will be rules and laws put in place for the things that you do. So if there's something that you're not supposed to do, there's going to be consequences that you're going to have to face. So once you understand that, and you know, and I start them from young, then they'll, you know, likely they'll think twice or even three times before they'll do something that get them in trouble with the law, where there's major consequences that they would have to face. So I always say, you know, and I totally understand what everybody is saying, you know, there could be two sides to this story. And I'm just saying from the side of that I don't feel like, say when I was talking, I didn't even know how long the punishment was for, that it should be carried out. So in this case, like I said, I really don't know what, how much of the time passed. I know we've talked about it. I am not good at, you know, when somebody said, when did this happen? What time is it? I'm not good at time frames at all. So if it's the year that he only was supposed to, you know, to be with this team, and after that move on, and if the year is his punishment, then I guess after the year he's free to do, you know, how he want to do. But like I said, everything, you know, that we talk about, it unfolds as time go on. You know, whether the things that we do, whether it was the best decision or not. And we learn from those things, we are able to see something that happens in other people's lives that we can also learn from too, that we don't have to go through them our own selves. So I guess, you know, like I said, I'm going to stand by what I'm saying. And only thing I say is I'm just going to watch it unfold.
Well, just so everyone knows, the college season normally ends in February, and then they go into March where they go into tournaments. So they had not yet decided exactly how long his punishment was going to be, but LeBar had assumed, since they had not given him a date up to this point, that the son may not be allowed, because right now he's not allowed to practice with the team. And so that now, since the other boys are going ahead and are playing, that even if he did bring him back at some point in January, there will only be about 3 months left in the season, and his son may not get a chance to start. So he is trying to figure out how his son, what kind of program or what kind of option his sons might be able to have to showcase his skills so that his son could get drafted in late June or July. Because being that he's not able to show people how good he is, nobody can evaluate whether or not they want to draft him. So he's determined to get his son into the pros after this first year. But his son's behavior has created a problem. So, Andre, why shouldn't he be held accountable for the decision that he made? He got a good opportunity to go to a real good school, give him a very expensive scholarship, and he chose. And we can't say that him being caught in China and allowed to leave with the team was a punishment. He never went to jail. He never went to court. They just released him. How can we think of that as being a punishment?
I believe he wasn't able to play when he was in China, right?
Right.
I believe that internationally and nationally, he's known as a thief, right?
Right.
Okay. I think it's known that he embarrassed himself, his family, his school, and all race, right?
Right.
Okay. So, again, I go back to say that each of us may think that he deserves a different level of punishment, but he has been punished. And that's the way I see it. And I just see that his father is trying to make a career for him, and he's taking the different steps that he feels is best for his child, as he has done for his other sons. And he may not be the most popular, but I tell you what, he's a father that's standing up and doing anything and everything he can for his children. May not be his methods, but his goal is to position his children in certain categories, and he's taking that path to get it done. And I don't know Mr. Ball, so just from what I see, that's no.
Well, you need to listen to him, because sometimes he talks real crazy. So when I listened to his interview, it just made clear to me that he seemed to be more interested in circumventing the system and getting his son where he wanted his son to be, despite of what his son did, Joyce.
And what is it that you're saying that as a parent that he shouldn't try to help
Hello.
His son achieve everything? And like I said, that you know, all of our children make mistakes. All of us make mistakes.
Right.
It just happened to be that his was put on display for international and national attention. But I'm not going to hold it over when my child make a mistake. We deal with it, and yeah, you have some punishment and repercussions, but I don't hold that over the rest of his life.
Andre, let me just give you some additional information. Children who go to college are given 5 years to play four. Okay, so they take in consideration, as a freshman, you may not play. So what they do, the NCAA says, all right, we're going to give college athletes 5 years to finish school, and if they play, they can only play four of those years. So if you start as a freshman, they will pay for your scholarship for 5 years so that you can finish, but you can only play four, and they call it redshirt. So therefore, his son's punishment, just like many freshmen, wouldn't have been nothing but being redshirted, where you wouldn't have played your first year, and then he could have came back and played his sophomore year, his junior year, his senior year, and an additional year. So,
but that was not his program, though.
What naturally happens to most players.
Yeah, but the contract was clear, right? But and the contract was clear. Go ahead, Joyce.
Okay, first of all, he was not most clear, and when you look at it, you know, I've listened to how you feel about Mr. Ball, James, and I understand what you think about this man, because see, we've been dealing with Mr. Ball because you more like on the take of what the news tried to paint him to be. This is a man who got a plan for his son. All of them know what's on the agenda. the son that slipped to the left, but you know, teach a child in the way he good, and then they go back on the right road. Well, he got a plan B because his plan A ain't working, and ain't nothing wrong with having a plan B for your son. So his son, the plan wasn't even for him to be there for 5 years. He told you that his plan was be there for 1 year and for him to make the pros. Now he needs a plan B. Either that plan B is that I don't think another university is going to pick him up and he's not going to go under NCAA umbrella. So he can do a walk-on like Kobe or whoever else that's really good at what he do. Or, like I said, he's going to have to reinvent this guy one way or the other. Another way of doing that is to get the news out there to see how he plays and perform all on his own 101. He can do pickups by having some kids to come off the street and play with him and film him. You know what I mean? You got to be creative. I wish I was his manager because, baby, I can create him and reinvent him so good that even the pros want him and they don't even know how good he is. So this guy got a plan B for his kid. It ain't what that university, because the university going to use their kids. The thing is what Mr. Ball is thinking, that you're not going to use my son the way that you want him to use him. You had a plan for my son, which is to help your program for 5 years, and I had a plan for my son is to help my son for 1 year and get him to the pros. Now your plan ain't working, so now I need to revert back to something else. Bye-bye. See you later, alligator. And ain't nothing wrong for that. Not only did he didn't play with the team, Andre, over there in China, he couldn't. They had to separate him from his teammates. Plus, he didn't even come back with his teammates. So, yeah, he had a lot of punishment of all these things that you saw. When is enough for this kid. See, that's what his dad is saying. Okay, I felt that, you know, his punishment is this, but your program does not fit our program anymore. So now I need to do something else. And the way the NCAA could have done him, they're going to hold him out to the end, and they're going to teach this in, you know what I'm talking about, a lesson, just like Trump said. Should have been keeping your butt over there in jail. Well, that's, they might be thinking the same way. So my thing is, Kadu for a brother who's looking out for his son. And we talked about that kids, that parents ain't spending, these boys don't have enough parents in their life, especially men. Now you got a man in his son's life, and then we have a problem with that. Come on, guys. Sometimes we don't have to do things the way that it's supposed to be. So let's let him be. This is his son. This is what he wants. He got a plan B, so we got to wait and see what the plan B is. Thank you.
All right, let's take a short break and come back and continue our conversation.
We got it together, didn't we? We've definitely got our thing together, don't we? Isn't that nice? I mean, really, when you really sit and think about it, isn't it really, really nice? I can easily feel myself slipping more and more ways in that super world of my own. Nobody but you and me. We've got it together, baby. Getting you,
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We need to hear your voices loud and clear and uninterrupted. So call in at 657-383-0309 so that your voice can be heard loud and clear. Guys, you know, what happened to helping your child through adversity and learning from the mistakes so that you don't recreate those situations in the future? Is there something that you derive from punishment that gives you the need not to relive it in your future? Cheryl?
I'm always saying that that we need to learn from the things that we do, and we have a less habit, or less likely to do it, you know, if we from young, and you know, because, and like everybody's saying, you know, everybody do make mistakes, which is true, and we want to learn, you know, from the mistakes that we make, so that we don't repeat them again, or we want to be able to learn from other people's mistakes, and we see what happens to them.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens to the other two boys who may not have those same options related to Mr. Ball. I don't know. I'll have to research their names to find out if they have quit the team and moved on. But for sure, the NCAA is not going to allow him to go to another team as a means to circumventing whatever punishment they were going to divvy out in the situation. When you accept that scholarship, you are accepting the rules and decisions made underneath that body, Audrey.
But like Joy said, you know, as parents, you have to always have another alternative. You know, we have goals that we're trying to achieve, and when something comes in our path to block that, then we just don't stand still there. We have to look at ways to continue on our path to where the destination we want to achieve. And yeah, NAACA, whatever it is, have their rules and regulations. Whatever schools are underneath that body, they govern that. So I'm not sure where and how he's going to help his son to go into the pros, but that's what he'll do. And you know, you're exactly right. You don't even know the names. We don't even know the names of those other two guys. You know, all the attention is on this gentleman, and you know why? Because of the fact of what his father had, how he had positioned him. The media has given him attention and stuff. You might not agree with it, but you know his name, and you don't know those other two guys' names, do you?
No, we definitely don't.
No?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I have to go research it. But one thing is for sure is that, again, you know, you put these governing bodies in for a reason, to regulate how people are judged and what the punishment is for them operating. Because, you know, you have people who avoid punishment because you're at a large school that has plenty of money. So the NCAA was put in place so that all athletes would be governed under the same rules and would not have a lesser punishment based on the school that they attended. So, Joyce, you know, in one way, this body was put in place to protect athletes, and again, also to make sure that they were all punished in a similar-like fashion.
Well, that's what the NCAA, but therefore that was a school policy as to how they was going to decide and proceed beyond that. Now, there's nothing wrong with this guy having a plan B. His plan A ain't working for him. So like Andre said, why stay around and stay in the mud with plan A when you know plan A is not for your benefit, but it's for that school benefit? See, both of them supposed to have been getting something out of the deal. But the way that it ends up now, that everything is going to, the school going to have to get their deal, where the guy, the ball is not going to get what he actually went out for the deal. So now he's saying, well, it's not in my best interest. And then the school would want to look at it and let him move on anyway. You know, because you tainted, you bro tainted. You tainted that program in some way. So move on. Why not let him move on to his plan B, whatever that is? I don't see anything wrong with it. I could have, but the media has been down. What's wrong with a brother really into his son that much? Because if he wouldn't, and you would just let the system punish him so much, believe me, he won't wind up on top of number one. And number two, you're going to dog the dad and saying, where's the dad and how come he did not step in and take control? But now that the dad is doing it, he damn if he do, he damn if he don't. The system have not liked this man because he has been making his own calls about and the direction of what and how his guys is going to proceed. Just so happened that the younger one fell a little short. You know, he didn't get the right memo. He didn't see the big picture. But while he was over there incarcerated in a room, could not go anywhere, just those three gave them plenty of time to think. I guarantee you. And how long does it take for him to punish himself? Just by him knowing and what the taintness and the disgrace that he brought on his family, that's punishment enough to me. Because I'm sure the way that his dad looked at him, he knew that he had to put his head between his legs, just like a little, you know, just ridiculous. Because you disappointed him, not only that, your mom, your family, you tainted your name. So then now we got to get up, pick yourself up, shake it off, and let's move on. Believe me, he learned his lesson. So why wallow in the mud? You got a plan B. You got to have a plan B. Because this plan A is not going to work. My thing is, his plan B needs to take him out of the program, let him reinvent himself. Okay, you want to make it to the pros, you cannot go through the NAACA way. You cannot go through the school system. My thing is, you get those news reporters out there because they love your name. You get some of those guys from out of the street, play that street ball with them and show exactly how good he can play. And not only that, a couple of them might go to the pros too with him. Hey, it's a way to get there. He just got to reinvent himself and go to plan B. I wish I could talk to him because I can show tell him how to get there. I used to be a news reporter. I used to do the camera and the whole bit. I make him shine so good, he'll go to the pros. Every team would be wanting him, too. Thank you.
Well, you know, I have to share with you, and a lot of people have been paying attention, and I know we got some busy lives, and some of us may not have been paying attention. But, you know, his son is not doing as well as he may have wanted him to be doing in his first year with the Lakers. He's starting, but he's definitely not putting up a lot of points. And, a lot of that is because he brought a lot of attention on himself. And a lot of those boys are going after him because of all that attention he brought to himself.
That's true. And LeBron was the same way. Remember, they got to get initiated into the NBA. They don't call it the NBA for nothing. You got to step up to the plate. Hey.
Well, he's learning a lot right now. All right, guys, we're going to go to another short break, and we're going to come back and let everybody have their final word.
Still so hard.
Cheryl, what is your final thought for this evening?
As usual, it's a very good platform. Always enjoyable to be able to hear the opinions of each and every one of us that's here, and helps me to learn and to grow. Thank you.
You know, it's really important we recognize that we have to talk about the things that are so meaningful to us and let people know that we all have different opinions, and that those opinions come together and we kind of decide on what direction we should go as a nation and as a people. But we can talk without getting angry and upset with one another, even though we have differences of opinion. Joyce, what is your final thought for this evening?
My final thought is that excellent show today. Good, two excellent, good subjects. I'm interested in finding the outcome on the first situation about the parents and the court system. But my hat goes off to a brother who's trying to create and carve out a path for his sons. For the older bald guy who's in the professional league, you know, they out for the hunt. They probably going to do you like LeBron James. I remember his rookie year. It wasn't easy. And sometimes we, the media, the public, we put a lot on these kids, and we put too much for them, and we expect too much for them to be out there. But this is a big boys game, so they got to step up to the plate. And my kudos to the Ball family. So we'll keep everyone in our prayers and hopefully go forward from there.
Hello?
Go ahead, Audrey.
Yeah.